How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I'm Anthony Irwin. As always, I am joined by Harrison Fagan. We are picking up where we left off yesterday, but before we do so, I figured I'd tell you where you can find us, as always, on Audio Boom, on iTunes, on Silver Screen and Roll, on Stitcher. We're still working on SoundCloud, and now I have another one to work on with TuneIn and apparently Google Play, which I'd be surprised if we aren't on there. But if we aren't on there, then we'll get on there. Harrison, I'll go ahead and let you start us off with the recap of what we spoke about yesterday, where the topic came from, because I think it's a cool topic. It's not the straightforward, what do guys need to work on, but what do they need to work on with a point, you know, towards what the Lakers need to build with in the future?
Yeah, so, we were talking about Paul George and kind of other guys on Team USA, Greg Popovich and Kevin Durant, and just them being very impressed with this young core. And Paul George specifically mentioned Randle and Russell. And so that kind of turned into, what do we think that this core has to do the rest of this season to, or the rest of this whole season, the upcoming season, to get kind of more prospective free agents, more people around the league in their fan club? Because even I don't even know that it's like just free agents that you want to be fans of them. It's other executives too, because then eventually, you know, should the Lakers want to trade these guys for kind of a more established superstar talent in order to lure another free agent, which, I mean, it's not the route I would go, but it's the route the team might go. You want them to have as high a value as possible with both fellow players and executives.
Right. Right now, their value is purely speculative. Whereas if they show out, if they play well, if they, you know, win a few more games, whatever it might take, if they do that, then you're looking at, all right, executives say we actually know what kind of value we can get, right? Whereas, like with Russell Westbrook, let's say hypothetically the Lakers are negotiating with the Thunder right now. The Thunder are basically going to ask for two or three of the Lakers' young pieces, not because of whatever those guys might bring to the table right now, but it's two or three young pieces that they can rebuild with moving forward. Whereas if D'Angelo Russell does take a step forward next year, then they'd be acquiring, or the Lakers would be negotiating with something more of a known commodity. And that's a pretty major difference in there.
Yeah, I think like it's like that old Family Guy bit. I think right now, if Mitch Kupchak or the front office, they're trying to sell these guys to other teams, then it's almost like, you know, like trade Russell Westbrook for D'Angelo Russell. You know, one day D'Angelo Russell could be really good, maybe as good as Russell Westbrook.
Exactly. So, all right. So after, you know, the conversation that we talked about yesterday, we covered, who'd we cover yesterday? D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle,
and Zubac.
Now, I do you still want to lump in Jordan Clarkson with the kids, quote unquote, because I don't know if we necessarily can. He got his second contract now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can make it quick. I think Clarkson, I think, again, like a lot of these guys, it's just improving his efficiency. Maybe learning what would really help him is maybe not going so 100% all of the time, like learning to kind of shift gears and slow down a little bit. One of the things we kind of briefly touched on for Randle last night was the tunnel vision, and you don't want to be a player that gets kind of hit with that label, because that's not the type of guy that guys are going to want to play with. And so I think Clarkson has been a bit prone to that as well. I think all of them kind of were in last year's very stagnant offense. And so I'd throw that out there as well. Like, you know, you don't want to get the reputation of being a guy that refuses to pass.
I would agree there. And then I think that in terms of this isn't necessarily Clarkson individually, but what we need to learn over the next couple, at least after this season, is what role is best suited for Jordan Clarkson. Is it Six man off the bench. Is it, can he play off, you know, can he and Randall or can he and Russell be the actual backcourt of the future for the Lakers? The sooner that the sooner that he can figure that out for himself and the Lakers can figure that out for the entire organization, the sooner he can start tailoring his game for whatever role that might be.
Yeah, eventually you have to figure out what these guys are and not just keep hoping for the pipe dream, ceiling, whatever. Like, you have to be realistic and figure out where they're kind of at, what their career projects to be.
Absolutely. All right, so we'll pick up right where, you know, we'll jump right into this. And today the guys that we're going to cover are going to be Brandon Ingram, Larry Nance Jr., and then Anthony Brown / Tarik Black as like a, you know, just so we aren't going to spend all kinds of time on Anthony Brown and Tarik Black. Let's just put it that way.
I really wanted to do a 40-minute podcast on both of those guys, but that's fine. I was overruled.
Yeah, I'm glad that I have 51% of the stake in this. So let's go, or I guess it would be 50.1%. That's a little closer. It's really not. We're a 50-50 organization.
Oh, we are? Oh, okay. He just gave me the most patronizing wink because this isn't a visual podcast anymore. And I was actually excited for a second, and then I was like, oh, man, that one hurt.
All right, so let's start with Brandon Ingram. And it's hard to say, we can't quite say improve on because we don't really know what he is.
So, what does he have to show this year? Anything.
Yeah.
Like anything at all. Like we need to, just because we have no idea exactly what he is right now.
Because of the issue with actually projecting and prognosticating on somebody who hasn't done literally anything in the NBA, what kind of role would you like to see Ingram fill realistically? Don't say like Kevin Durant, but stronger.
How did you know I was going to say Kevin Durant, but a better shooter? No, I think this year what you want to see from Brandon Ingram, if you're the Lakers, again, remember, he's not even 19 yet. He's only going to be 19 just heading into the season. He should basically be a college freshman right now. Mm-hmm. So I think what you want to see if you're the Lakers is like some ability to defend. If he's able to do that this year, you want to see signs of kind of thing like throughout the year of things that he's going to be able to do consistently in future years. You want to see his shot. You don't want to see him have like the Anthony Brown issue from last year where his shot really struggles coming into the NBA. You want to see that kind of like his jump shot translate immediately, you know, if we're kind of looking at this. Because, you know, that's going to be one of the most appealing parts of his game, it looks like. And so you kind of want to see that come around immediately, if possible. You want to see his ability to draw fouls translate, which, judging by summer league, which is always a little dangerous, but it looks like that's going to happen. He's going to get some of those length kind of swing through calls. And so I think that's what's immediately springing to mind for me. What do you think?
So again, I'm going to take a different angle on this because there are things that obviously him as a player, and you covered them very well right there, that he needs to show as a rookie. But for me, in order to best, you know, catch a free agent's eye, you know, or to start driving some kind of narrative himself, I think the most effective way he's going to do that, because he's not going to have the ball very much in the half court. But the best way he's going to be able to do that is, one, defensively, to get out there, get some steals, and get into the open court, right? You'll rebound the ball well and get out into the open court. Or two, if he is filling a lane, do so efficiently, right? Be able to fill a lane and, you know, get on SportsCenter with whatever dunk or and one or, you know, maybe second pass in the fast break that makes everybody kind of go, oh, wow. You know, especially if it's him and Russell leading the break, or if it's him and Russell combining on some backdoor alley-oop or whatever it might be. And this is going to sound, or I have sounded in, you know, yesterday's show and in this show, that all I have in mind are highlight plays or whatever. That's not the case. That's not it at all. I am interested in these guys' overall development, but if we're talking about stuff that catches a free agent's eye or drives a narrative moving forward, this is the kind of stuff that helps that more than the intricacies of help defense, right? That's those. It's a slight
I don't know, man. The intricacies of help defense is going to be, I feel like, a really good show on NBA TV this year that a lot of people are going to watch.
I just want to hear Shaq say intricacies. Him and Charles Barkley. Like, all right, guys, your job is to spell intricacy. And I couldn't do that either, so I'll say that with the caveat.
Oh, my God.
All right,
the difference
so,
is it's not their job to know how to spell things.
Man, I have Google, and I have spell check and all that stuff. And that's I have a fair point.
That's a fair point.
You know how to spell intricacies, right?
Like, yeah.
You got that?
Intricacies? Right,
cool. I know. I'm just intricacy. See,
okay.
I just pulled the same stuff that I was making fun of Shaq and Charles for not being able to do. So I think that covers Brandon Ingram. Is there anything else that you would add to, you know, that you know, maybe on either side of the ball that you would like to see? Because I'll say this too, and well, we're a little bit more exposed to it. You know, I kind of poked fun at him, you know, needing to show stuff in help defense and stuff. But NBA players are watched a lot more on that end of the court. So what he can't do defensively is have those moments that people, you know, they say when you're PlayStation controller runs out of battery and your guy just stands there while the other team scores.
Looks totally oblivious, ball watching, whatever.
That's the stuff that the Lakers can't have. That's the, you know, but I think that's more important than being able to consistently rotate properly.
And so on that note, the one more thing I would add in terms of just catching a free agent's eye is, like, these guys build a large part of their kind of sample size on playing against these players. And so if Ingram's really getting out there, and, like, even if he's – like, he's not going to lock guys down this year, but if he at age 19 is showing that he's – like Paul George was complimenting Randall and Russell on, that he's not afraid – and he's really getting into guys and competing and, like, having some effectiveness on defense. That's the kind of thing that they might remember.
Right. And actually, to the point that you're making, that's something that Randall really impressed a lot of veterans with last year, was his mentality. Paul George said it, you know, obviously the other day. But throughout last year, you were getting a lot of, this guy just doesn't back down to anybody. He got up in a lot of people's face that I don't think really expected him to. And the props that he got after games for doing so were, you know, they spoke pretty well about somebody, you know, a kid with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, and, like, if they're asked which of the Lakers' young players impressed them, it's very likely to be the guy that left bruises on their chest from flying into them the whole game, just, like, careening into the lane and just smashing into guys. And even if he wasn't finishing while he was there, they just remember getting the breath knocked out of them by the 20-year-old.
Yeah, like, though I would say Ingram is more likely to cut somebody with his elbows than leave a bruise. Seeing as he could probably, when he goes to a steakhouse, I would imagine he just uses his elbow, right? He holds it down with a fork and uses his elbow to get through there. But
boo.
That was a dad joke. Tim Kaine was proud of that joke.
Get off the stage.
All right, let's move on to Larry Nance Jr., another guy who, based on the theory that I've been talking about throughout the last show and then this show as well, Nance, and I would say Tarik Black, more than any other player, has the capability to finish on a dunk or really catch the crowd's eye on some crazy play up in the air that makes everybody kind of say, wow, what's this guy offer? What would you say, you know, beyond that, because I've basically already made that point with multiple guys already. What would you say overall, Nance, you'd like to see from Nance to help the overall team win?
Yeah, well, the other thing about the dunking is, like, I mean, him murdering guys on the court, like, if they're dead, they can't sign with the Lakers. So that, I would argue, is also, like, a possible detriment.
And what is dead may never die, Harrison.
I mean, like, I think Festus Ezeli had had how much money, like, taken off his contract? I'm just assuming that's for Larry Nance Jr. dunking on him during the preseason. I think that was when we saw it all go downhill, was when Larry Nance Jr. dunked on him so hard that the floor kind of peed itself and they had to cancel the game.
The reason I laugh so hard there is we had a show earlier, way earlier in the
season. People remember. The people, they remember. They know, you know, they're longtime viewers.
I don't know. We've picked up some viewers recently, so I think we should tell this story. I don't even know how to really tell it, but we were just
I said feces instead of festus, okay? Like, I'm not good at pronouncing names. Like, we just need to get this out of the way. So as far as Larry Nance Jr. this year, and what else he can show.
I'm sorry. I got it. All right.
That's okay. That's okay. Catch your breath. It's fine.
Whew. All right. Feces Azili. All right. Go ahead.
So as far as what Larry Nance Jr. can show this season, I think the other thing is just kind of his hustle. I think guys appreciate that, and they remember this guy that's kind of climbing all over their back or basically tackling them to go after loose balls, and they're like, man, I hated playing against that guy, but I would like playing against him. Or, I mean, on his team with him.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, and then I would add to that, the thing that I would say Larry Nance Jr. has to offer, and I've made this point multiple times just in general, comparing him and Julius Randle, is every team needs that guy who just knows his role, fulfills it, no questions asked, and you know, is kind of a jack of all trades kind of guy. You know, you look at all of successful teams out there have that guy. You know, right now the guy who comes to mind is Draymond Green. Again, I'm not saying Larry Nance Jr. is going to be Draymond.
Everyone's going to be Draymond. Yeah. Every single young power forward could be Draymond Green. We don't know. It's possible.
So if I'm a superstar and I need guys that I know are going to be in a foxhole with me, and that was done on purpose. But if I need guys who, you know, I know can roll with me and is perfectly fine fulfilling his role, and Larry Nance Jr. does that consistently with the Lakers, and you get enough stories like that to cycle through the NBA season, that's the kind of thing that, you know, somebody will say, you know what, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to playing with this guy because of everything I've heard off the court about what he brings to the table there.
Yeah, he seems like a really good dude, and he's a pain in the ass to play against. And guys appreciate not having to go up against those guys and having those guys that do those things on their team. He sets hard screens. He has the little cagey moving thing sometimes already. You know, like he's like pushing guys on defense so that his teammates can get rebounds. It's like he's just a pain.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that I think that pretty much covers Nance. Nance is, you know, pretty straightforward, right? Just dunk it when you can, fulfill your role, knock down the outside shot, you know, play decent defense. I would say he's the only guy on the team. Maybe Tarik Black can do this, but I feel like Nance is the only guy on the team who can make a defensive highlight.
Yeah, get some blocks. I'm trying. I mean, maybe Zubats in the second half of the year if he comes along quicker than anyone expects, but otherwise, yeah.
But even with Zubats, I think that's more of like an inside joke among Laker fans. You know?
I don't know. He protected the rim really well last year. During summer league.
Right. No,
he got a lot of blocks. That's the kind of thing that people do notice.
Right. No, I would agree. But I think a lot of like if you watched Twitter during one of those, you know, Lakers summer league games, it was Zoo, you know, spelled out on Twitter all over the place. It was Zoo block party. It was whatever joke, you know, whatever running joke you had, because this guy completely surprised Laker fans. And I don't know if that's something that really resonates nationally, the way Larry Nance Jr. flying through the air to, you know, block somebody into oblivion might.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. If he gets some of those blocks during games next year, that is the kind of thing that people will notice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right, and you're just gonna have to. You're just gonna have to back off. Like, you know, like now, you lost this one. You lost this round.
Hey, calm down, Feces Azili. All right, so. The final.
I'm glad this isn't video anymore, so that people can't just like crying Jordan my face right there.
the final pairing, or the final couple guys that we have in this little mini series of improvement. And these are topics, again, if you missed anything from last show, or if you missed last show that, you know, where we started this topic, go back and listen. It was a really interesting conversation. And the nice thing about interesting conversations, especially in the off season, is that we're definitely going to revisit this kind of stuff. So in this respect, you know, whatever we say about these guys might change as the offseason rolls around, or even as the actual season rolls along. This is the type of story that is going to develop all year.
Yeah, and you know, the next time, like, instead of what do the young Lakers need to do to impress people around the league, we might do, like, what do the young players need to do to impress, like, old-timers that don't like the way the game is played today? Like, you know, we could go off, like, varieties of topics like that. Like, what do the young Lakers need to do to impress celebrities and get more of them to come to their games? Like, you know, it's the off-season. We may run out of ideas, you know? Like...
What might the young guys have to do on Snapchat to get on one of those listicles of the top 10 follows on Snapchat?
Yeah, like, who is most likely to become like the LeBron James of subtweeting their teammates on this team?
It's Russell. It's Russell, and it's not close.
Yeah, it's definitely Russell.
All right, so we'll go with Anthony Brown. And again, this is... as straightforward. It's so straightforward that it's frustrating because this is still...
it's a cliche at this point.
Yeah, but Anthony, please hit your shots. I sound like one of my coaches. Anthony, please take care of your stuff. I sound like a
fish. Or your teammates at the blogger game. Yeah, your teammates at the blogger game.
Yeah. Anthony, stop trying to Eurostep.
Stop standing at half court. That's not spacing the floor. You're just being lazy.
Anthony, suck your stomach in. That's awful. So, yeah, Anthony Brown's, you know, goals this season is the most straightforward topic of anybody else on the Lakers, right? And I would say he has more at stake than almost anybody on the Lakers, because if he doesn't start making shots, his defense is good. And 3-and-D guys, you know, do tend to stick with their second team once they do start hitting shots. So this might not be the end all or be all for his NBA career, but if he's interested in remaining a Laker moving forward, he absolutely needs to start making shots.
And he acknowledged that at the end of summer league. He said, you know, I know that, like, my defense is good, but, or I don't know if he said my defense is good, but he said, I know if I can't make shots that I'm not going to play next year. Like, he understands that this is the biggest thing facing him going forward for his NBA career, and rightfully so. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. So, like, if he didn't get that, then, you know, there would be a little bit of reason to worry. But he's a Stanford guy. He's smart. He knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, like, the only other kind of thing that I would say that I would add to this is similar to the Larry Nance Jr. thing. Like, if you're just a pain in the ass to play against, like, if his defense is just something that really, like sticks in guys' heads, if he gets the minutes, you know, and he defends some superstar player and, like, does a decent job, then, like, maybe that's the type of thing that they'll remember. I mean, that doesn't seem particularly likely that he's going to get enough minutes for that. But, you know, it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, the big thing, I mean, because this team doesn't have very many defenders, so if he does get out there and he does make a few shots, and let's say Ingram is struggling that much defensively, you know, without supplying enough offense to keep him on the court, then you might see an Anthony Brown step up and really, you know, carve out a role for himself.
Or Ingram foul trouble. He's very young. Mm-hmm. We also know that Luke likes to play small, so we'll probably see like a few lineups out there with like multiple wings. Or we don't know that, but his past would seemingly imply it, and his comments thus far would seemingly imply it. And then also the other thing, the Lakers just spent big money on Luol Deng, and he's been prone to injury at times throughout his career. So I see Callie agrees with me. Yeah, you know, but he's been prone to injury. Luol Deng has played a lot of minutes for kind of an older player, and he's been prone to injury at times in his career. And if he gets hurt, all of a sudden Anthony Brown is in for a lot of minutes at small forward.
Yep, all of what you just said was true. Callie agreed. She wanted to chime in. It's been a while since one of my pets chimed in on a podcast. We've had a nice little streak going.
I was gonna say, I mean, like, count this. My dog, he may be like a little bit of a yapper, but he doesn't do it during the podcast. Like, get your dog trained, bro.
He's not even in the same room as you in these podcasts.
that I don't feel like that matters. And he is sometimes. Sometimes he's at my feet.
All right. So the last guy on our list of Lakers to go through, young Lakers to cover here, as far as, you know, needing to take a step forward to make the team good enough to seem appealing to a superstar free agent, is Tarik Black. And his role is very similar to Larry Nance Jr., though Larry Nance Jr. is probably going to be to,
like, to a lesser degree. It's like,
yeah, he's going to be asked. Yeah, he's Larry Nance light. So he's Larry Nance the third or something like that. I don't know how that works.
Get out.
So with Tarik Black, though, I do think he's going to be, you know, if he wants to, you know, really get himself consistent minutes, he has to be really good on defense.
Yeah.
He has to, because otherwise, if he isn't, you know, significantly better than Larry Nance Jr. or Julius Randle on defense, especially protecting the rim, then if I'm the Lakers, I just go with the better offensive unit and keep Black on the bench. But if Black gets out there and he protects the rim pretty well, if he handles pick and rolls well, and he is significantly better than those guys, then there you go. He's you know, made himself important for this young Lakers team.
Yeah, I really don't have anything to add for Tarik Black. I think you gave I mean, what? And then also, like, we have to be realistic. Like, some of these guys that we just talked about are most likely not going to impact any free agent's decision, other than doing little things that help the Lakers get maybe an extra victory hit or two here or there that mm-hmm. might make the team's win total look a little better, to where a superstar free agent, you know. Well, I actually want to credit the guy in our comments, because we appreciate you guys kind of commenting on the show, that said it was Kilgary, like frequent commenter on the site. And mm-hmm. he said the kind of the most obvious answer of what all these young guys need to do is win enough games so a superstar can see himself putting the team over the top. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's where kind of these guys like Anthony Brown or Tarik Black like might contribute most, is if they play well enough to impact that at all.
And Kilgary put it the best, but that was a frequent response, right? Based on Twitter.
So we put out the article plugging the podcast, and we had three replies in a row that were, so the it was just plugged as like, what does the Lakers young core need to do to help attract free agents? And we had like three replies in a row that were basically just win.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Don't know how much better to put it. Any other comments that stuck out to you as, you know, that need a shout out?
I mean, there's one guy that spelled Randle both right and wrong in the same comment. So shout out to them.
I've been there before, you know, having written, you know, having handwritten tests before where you just write it one way, you know, a word that you're not sure about, you write it one way and then you write it another way the next time, just so that you're, you know, there's a 50% chance.
You cover both bases.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out to that guy.
Yeah, it's smart if you think about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, and then the other one that kind of wasn't the same as that, most of them were just kind of win, which, you know, that's a good point. And it's not something that we probably mentioned enough last night. So that's why we asked you guys for help on this stuff. And we mm-hmm. want to hear your feedback. But the other one that we got was from Hoop Dude, and it's play hard. And so I think that that's another thing that we kind of mentioned a little bit tonight, but that I think sometimes goes over, you know, if these guys are out there playing hard, even if the team's not a record, isn't that great. That's the type of thing that guys are going to on other teams are going to remember the next summer, is like, you know, Luke Walton had these guys playing hard. It looked like they were having fun. It looked like team chemistry was good. Maybe I want to be a part of that.
Yep. That's a very good point, is, you know, can the team show enough?
Walton's kind of the last young guy here. I mean, he's young for a coach. He's a first-year head coach. That's kind of what he can do.
And so far, so good. You know, there isn't much that a player is going to learn about a coach from, you know, watching the other team, you know, play or whatever. There is going to be, you know, I would imagine there's a grapevine in the NBA about, hey, what do we think of Luke so far? What do you guys what are you hearing about Luke? So that's going to take place. But so far in the press is where I've been the most impressed in that, you know, he seems to really back his guys. He really supports his guys. And that's not something that all coaches do very well.
Yeah, so I think what's really going to make an impact from Luke's perspective on this is the sign that the Lakers, you know, are presumable. I would just assume they're going to put this up outside the visitors' locker room where it just said, we've gone X amount of days without our coach throwing a player under the bus.
Yeah, I'll make that sign.
Feel the need to put a sign like that out there. Like that's up to the viewer to kind of think about and use their skills and, you know, look back on what came before. But
that would be fun to put up like a ticker throughout the year of, you know, X days since whatever.
That'd hashtag tweet idea for Silver Screen and Roll.
All right, so that does it for this show here tonight. This was a lot of fun. This little mini series has been a lot of fun. And again, this is something that we're going to bring up. If you missed anything, make sure you go back and listen to yesterday's show. And that's when we covered D'Angelo Russell. We covered Ivica Zubac, and we covered Julius Randle, not in that order, but those are the guys that we talked about. And then today we talked about the other.
Gotta tune in to find out the order. Gotta leave them guessing.
And then today we covered the other half of the guys, the Jordan Clarksons, Brandon Ingram, Larry Nance Jr., and Anthony Brown and Tarik Black. So if there's anything that you have to add on these guys, the comment section, look, at the end of the day, we do this for you guys. We enjoy having this basketball conversation for you guys, with you guys. So the more you hop in our comments and the more that we get to have this back and forth, the better the show becomes for everybody involved.
Yep. I love having the, you know, respectful dialogue with people on Twitter and in the comments.
And sometimes disrespectful dialogue is fun when it's between you and I.
Yeah, just between that's just because, like, you know me like that. But, like.
All right, so that'll do it for this week on Locked On Lakers. We will talk to everybody again on Monday. And in the coming weeks, we're going to have a little bit more fun, you know, heading into the offseason. We're going to, you know, bring on some guests either from around the Locked On network. We're going to talk to – we actually have a Locked On fantasy expert. So for those fantasy basketball players of you out there, Josh Lloyd, we just picked him up. So we'll have a conversation with who he thinks on the Lakers might be worth owning this year and then moving forward. I'm in a dynasty league myself, so it's kind of fun to figure out, all right, who should I keep my eye on now from somebody who knows a little bit more than me. And then, yeah.
We'll just, your dynasty league isn't anything. I came in there this year and got second place on my first try, so.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to mention who beat me, but, you know.
It was me. All right. Yeah. So I will talk to everybody again on Monday. We will talk to everybody again.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.